You're listening to The Big Dart. Jingiwala, and welcome to a very special episode of the Big Dory podcast, produced here in Lismore at the Kurrimal newspaper, proudly on Widjibal Wyabal lands of the Bundjalung Nation. My name is Naomi Moran, I'm the CEO of the Kurrimal, and today I'm in conversation with a very special guest. Her name is Eva, she's a senior journalist with the Fiji Sun, Fiji's leading daily newspaper since 1999. This is Eva's first time to Australia, and she came over for the DART Asia Pacific Climate Change and Trauma Training Workshops held in Brisbane last week. And through the ABC, they coordinated with the Kurrimal for Eva to continue on with a work exchange between the Kurrimal and the ABC and have Eva come to Lismore and experience life here in regional New South Wales, work closely with the Kurrimal, and also to focus on writing some content on the stories of those that have relocated to Lismore for the Pacific Work Scheme, where we know a number of Fijian residents have travelled from their homelands to various parts of New South Wales and around the country to seek out work opportunities through the Pacific Labour Scheme programs. And Eva joins me today. We're so excited to have her here. And we're just going to have a bit of a yarn about her experiences, how she's enjoyed her time here, and I guess a bit of Eva's story and background and how she became to be one of Fiji's leading journalists. Bula, Bula Eva, and welcome. Welcome to Lismore. Welcome to Australia. Welcome to Bundjalung country. How are you?
I'm good. Jingiwala,
I think. Jingiwala.
Jingiwala, I'm guessing. Jingiwala, I'm guessing. That's how you say Mbula.
Yes.
So, yeah, Mbula Naomi, and thank you for having me here at the Kurrimal. So far, it's been a really overwhelming experience, straight from the trauma training in Brisbane, all those information, and then to regional Australia, New South Wales. It's been a special trip coming in on time for the Reconciliation Week.
Yes.
Man, that's just something. I was just in a conversation with our CEO back home, just telling her this is the best trip overseas so far because I've learned so much about the Indigenous community and to be attached here with the Kurrimal. Yeah.
We feel like we've known you for a lot longer than just a week. So for those who are listening, Eva arrived on Monday.
Yes.
They put you on a bus from Brisbane. I offered to pick you up because the bus ride would have been like going from Latoka to Suva City, about 4 hours on a bus. Oh, I could have driven you in two. But you arrive, we pick you up from the bus station in Ballina and brought you to Lismore. And I can honestly say that it feels like you've been part of our community for a lot longer than just a week already. Yeah. So I'm really glad to hear that you've been enjoying your experience here.
I guess the part about coming to Lismore was when my publisher had met you at one of the conferences.
The Women in Media Conference. Yeah.
And the first thing she said was, you'll be attaching at Kurrimal. The CEO is the wife of a Fijian man.
Of course.
I think that was like the ticket to coming over to
Well, it was interesting because at the Women in Media conference, I was one of very few Indigenous women in media that was attending the conference. So, of course, when I look around, I'm looking for some other familiar faces. And I spotted two women, and I thought, I don't think they're mob. I don't think they're from our communities. But when I kind of looked a bit closer, I thought, I bet you those two are from Fiji.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were sitting on their own. And Rossi, who's your CEO of Fiji Sun and your publisher, head publisher, she was preparing to present on a panel. And so so I just went over and introduced myself. I thought if I can just make them feel more comfortable, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe they were a bit nervous and didn't know too many people. So I went over, said, Bula. Introduce myself and let them know that my husband was from Fiji. So instantly we made that connection. And, you know, our communities here at home, when we meet somebody who we know is from another community here in Australia, we always say, who's your mob? Where are you from? You know?
Okay.
So for me, I wanted to make them feel welcome and comfortable. And I think then we had this connection and we stayed in touch. And I added them on LinkedIn and just tried to, you know, keep in contact. And then, of course, when I received the email that you were coming over for the DART training, yeah. and then they thought, hang on a minute, we could extend Eva's stay and she could come and spend some time down in Lismore, work at the Koori Mall. You did some stuff with the ABC already down here, ABC North Coast, and that they might have felt that you would be comfortable with me taking you under my wing because of that connection with my husband. So my husband's families are from Vanua Levu and from the Yasawas. So it was really nice to make that instant connection with you when we picked you up from the bus.
Yeah,
the first thing I said is, this is where I'm from, but also this is where my husband's from. And then we made those connections.
Yeah. I didn't really feel like I was a stranger or my first time in Australia. I mean, already you made me feel like I was home. so far so good. I've been loving the experience, and I think the other thing that made me come to Lismore was the help that the Fijians offered last year during the flood. The attraction they got on the media, so I think that was
that
instant connection.
Very much part of the Koori Mall story during our flood recovery. So for those who are listening and may not know, by February last year, there was a big cohort of Fijian workers that arrived in Lismore for the Pacific Work Labour Scheme. And just a few weeks after they had arrived, the big flood came. So you can just imagine most of those workers had never been out of Fiji before, never been to Australia before. Never left home. They arrive in Lismore ready to start their new lives and their work, and then the big flood hits, and obviously that impacted on their ability to be able to go to work for some time. But what was really special was their immediate response as a group of men and new members to our community to support the rescue efforts of the flood. And you know, the footage and the news articles of these men getting in waters, you know, up to their waist, to their shoulders, putting their lives at risk to help rescue, whether it was our elderly, our young people, people who needed to be, you know, pulled into boats and walked across waters, their response to that, you know, and they just did it. They didn't even question it. And so the power of their, I guess, connection to our community in those first few weeks and then the ongoing support they provided following the flood in terms of the recovery and the cleanup process was absolutely incredible. So, you know, I was really excited that you were going to come here and be able to meet some of those boys and have some of those conversations. So before we get into that, I'd really like for you to share where you're from. And just a little bit of a, you know, a bit of a yarn about your background in journalism and media. What made you decide to be a journalist? Tell us a bit about yourself now.
Okay. Well, let me just start off with my name. My name is Eva Merenataro. I get called Eva Mia.
Well, you notice I just say Eva because I still haven't got the rolling of the tongue down pat yet with my Fijian. Yeah.
It's going on my 10th year now in mainstream media. A funny thing, I never studied journalism in universities, but I did history and politics. Somehow I just got offered I applied for a job in one of the newspapers in Fiji, Fiji Times, and then I applied as a sub-editor, and then I was there for 2 years, and then I went to Fiji Sun. And then after that, I spent a few years in Samoa. It's another Pacific Island country, working in their newspaper as well. And then I returned to Fiji, and now it's going on my 4th year since returning from Samoa. And I guess it's the passion that drives me to do what I do and just telling the truth and informing the public. And I always feel that's my purpose on Earth, just to inform and tell the truth. So that's why I'm here.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think that resonates a lot with myself and the Indigenous media sector here in Australia, that it's about truth telling. It's about making sure that, you know, we're contributing to the sustainability of our stories and our culture and our history, but also the education around our people, education here in Australia around Indigenous affairs, education around, you know, those amazing stories of our people and our communities. And we always say, if you want to know about blackfellas, then you need to be listening to black media, reading, you know, our stories from, you know, our black media organisations. And I think, you know, that's absolutely one of the reasons why our media sectors are so strong, is because we really have that. You know, we talk a lot about cultural responsibility to contribute through media that way. And it's really great that, you know, you're a female journalist. And what's the, I guess, you know, how strong is female representation in Fijian media?
Well, we have a lot of women in media, in the media industry in Fiji. In Fiji Sun alone, it's women dominated. Our CEO is a woman. Great. And all those who hold managing editor positions, they are females, and majority of our reporters are female. And I am the pioneer of Fiji Sun's investigative project. It's going on to its third year now. And we also formed a Women in Media back home. I think that's from Australia.
So what kind of support does Women in Media Fiji provide for female reporters, journalists, presenters?
Right now, I think there's an ongoing mentorship program where female journalists have partnered with former senior journalists, veteran journalists, and just to help them in their daily works. I think in Fiji, a lot of females, and I believe all around the world, they are subjects of online bullies and harassments, sexual harassments, verbal harassments as well. So I think there's a program that's going on, mentorship program and mental health program, just to help female journalists in their work every day and whatever issues they face.
Which is why the DART Centre is so important for the work that they do. And our Koori Mail staff actually attended a retreat about a month ago where
they made mention of that.
Yeah, where we partnered with the DART Centre for our staff to have that same training delivered to them because, you know, as you would know, the daily stories that come across our table here in Australia, there's a real focus and issue, social justice issue around deaths in custody, the mistreatment of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in the prison systems in custody, anything from youth detention to the highest suicide rates that we've seen. So providing that support for journalists and writers, that in a way where it is counselling and it is trauma support, but you can do it collectively with, you know, with your staff members and your colleagues. And I think that really informal approach is a really great way to address it. Two, for us, it's that cultural significance of what it means to care for people when they're in traumatic situations in their line of work as well. And for us, that whole experience was about coming together culturally as well and understanding, you know, things like, yes, we have burnout and exhaustion from our work, but when you put it in a cultural context, well, what does it mean for blackfella burnout, we say, or what does it mean for burnout as Fijian people? When you leave the office after reporting a hard day of stories, and some of those are trauma stories, whether it's, you know, accidents on the road or something else has happened, and then you go home and you've got to take care of your families, or you've got to take care of your villages, or you've got all these other cultural responsibilities. So for us, we acknowledge that, you know, blackfella burnout, it never stops. You are constantly pouring into our work, pouring into our families, pouring into our community. So I'm really thrilled that you were able to participate in that training through the DART Centre and that they were able to bring you over for the purpose of that. Now, I just want to note the Big Dory podcast is a Koori Mail podcast where we came up with this concept because for us, the Big Dory, similar to the Fijian Avrosa.
Yeah.
Okay? Big Dory, Big Avrosa. big sticky beak, always want to know people's business. So for us, we came up with the Big Dory podcast where we have conversations like this about anything and everything. And this is your first time ever doing a podcast.
Yes.
And I know you're really nervous, but I, for one, think that you're doing a great job. I was saying before we came into the recording, I said, sis, just pretend it was like, you know, sitting around just having a bowl of kava, having a yarn session, really casual conversation.
Just this time, I'm the one being questioned.
Yes, exactly. So you're the one getting the questions. I'm interviewing you. And it's not often that I get to interview because, you know, as a CEO, my focus is on managing the organization and the business. So this is really exciting. And it's fun. We get to have some fun. So those of you listening, this is Eva's very first time on a podcast. And who knows, when she gets back home to Fiji, she might be doing a couple more episodes on her own back there. You never know. This time next year, you might be Fiji's top podcast reporter.
And calling it the Avarossa.
The Avarossa, the big Avarossa. And I'll come over and I'll be your first guest. Now I want to have a yarn about the Fiji Sun, and being one of Fiji's leading media organisations, daily newspaper. The Kurimau's a fortnightly newspaper, so it's very different to what we do here. What does a day in the life of you and your role as a senior journalist look like?
So every day from Monday to Friday, it's waking up before 8 o'clock in the morning, traveling to work for about 5 to 7 minutes. And I don't normally sit in the editorial meeting, which happens around 11 a.m. But for me, from Monday to Wednesday is basically the days where I collect information on a particular subject or issue I'm working on. So I research and I interview people. And then on Thursday, I don't get enough sleep from Monday to Friday. I
can imagine.
Yeah. It's usually just working. Even when I'm in the bus or whether I'm in a cab, it's always calling people. And
I've seen that firsthand because, you know, the times I've messaged you to say, look, you know, what time are we going to meet up today? And you're always finishing off a story. So you've been filing stories to send back home, even though, you know, you're over here. So I can only imagine that you never switch off. And I just want to acknowledge that, you know, I've seen some of your articles that you've filed and your writing is exceptional your ability to navigate your role and your job. You know, that's a credit to, I think, the passion that a lot of journalists and writers have for their craft and for their job. So, you know, I'm really, I guess, excited to learn about your role and the contribution that you make to media in Fiji. And really thrilled as well that beyond this experience here last week and this week that, you know, we'll obviously stay in touch and stay connected and that there's other opportunities down the track for us to continue working together in some way. I wanted to, I guess, have a yarn about just in general your experience coming to Australia for the first time, anything from... Have you tried Vegemite? We haven't been able to give you some kangaroo tail yet. My husband refuses to eat kangaroo because he thinks that it's so offensive. And I'm like, it is the most leanest meat you can ever have.
Just because he's from Vanuatu, he just doesn't. No.
I know.
He's like, just being a typical Kaivolo, maybe.
Yes, exactly. And you know what happened before? For those of you who are listening, on Saturday night we decided to do an official welcome to Lismore for Eva with our Fijian community here in Lismore. And I always have this saying that if you drive past our house and the garage door is open, our house is open for everyone. And we often have the Fijian community around for kava time and the boys sing and it's beautiful. Beautiful time with our community. And Eva came around because it was your birthday on Sunday and my sister made her a beautiful birthday cake and all the kids came out saying happy birthday. It was It was really special. And also that was on the back of Fiji Drua beating the Reds and continuing on in the competition. So you can just imagine the garage was packed. It was full. Before you came, though, some of the boys who work at the meatworks who you've been interviewing and yarning to, they pull up, they get out of the car, they got this box, and they say, "Bula Naomi, Bula Naomi, come, come, come." And I said, "What's in this box?"
Yeah.
And they said, "Oh, we just bought some pork for Eddie." And I said, "Oh, okay." And I'm thinking, you know, like real Kevalungi ways, like a supermarket roll of pork or pork chops or something like that. No. In the styrofoam box was half a pig. Half a fresh pig, still had the hairs on his leg.
Oh, my God.
And the big, the foot.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they call it a hoof? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, the foot was hanging out of that styrofoam box. And then there was another part of the thigh or something. Anyway, it wasn't covered or anything. You know, real Fijian styles. Just put it in the box and deliver it. And I went, "Oh, okay, I'm used to it, you know." But the kids, we had some of our friends' kids visiting. And my son, Chone, who you've met, he's 3. And Chone comes out and he's looking in the box and he goes, definitely not. So he just, you know, was so like shocked by this, just this pig just, you know, sitting there. And I just thought, man, that's just, that is our everyday life, even here in Lismore. The Fijian culture, the Fijian traditions as a community is still really strong, even though we're in regional New South Wales, Australia. So, you know, the Fijian workers that have moved over here, the families that have been here in this region before that, you know, my own family, me and my husband, we really try and embed those traditions into our everyday life, whether it's language, food, of course, the singing, and just, you know, those special occasions, like Johnny had his first haircut on Saturday, and just the components of what would be like a ceremonial thing back in Fiji was still present in how we did that for him on Saturday. And it was just, you know, really nice for you to be part of that community of people that we've grown to, you know, love and respect and a part of our family, and just to see them welcome you as well and to have those instant connections. So same thing, you all asking each other where you're from, figuring out who's your tau, who's your kai, who's your drill, like all of these things. And, you know, I think that's what's really special about our community here is the connectedness between Aboriginal people in our community and the Pacific Islander.
So many similar things.
So many similar things. And it's really nice. And obviously, you know, the boys are here for a certain amount of time. What are some of the things, I guess, that you've learned about their time here as workers under the Pacific Labour Scheme?
So I guess majority of the boys are loving their stay here. Like you said, most of them first time in Australia. Just leaving families behind, villages, communities, whatever responsibilities they have back home, and coming to Australia. And yeah, apart from the issues they face, most of them are just enjoying their time. I was speaking to a few boys yesterday and they said it was just in the first 3 or 4 weeks that they missed home, they felt homesick, but then they got to know each other. And it's interesting, before they came to Australia, none of them knew each other. So when they had applied for a job for the meatworks industry, and they went for their first induction back in Fiji, where they were told they were coming, they were all placed in one corner, all those who were coming to work for the meat industry, the fruit pickers, the hospitality industry. And that was the first time that they got to meet each other. But then when they came to Australia, they still missed home. The only thing that kept them, you know, like close to home was the feeling that they shared with each other when they came together after work, you know, for a cup of tea, just laughing. And you know how the Fijian boys do it, spoil each other, tease each other. And yeah, I guess that's basically what I've learned from them, apart from the issues that they face.
Yeah. And I mean, you can only imagine that feeling of getting on a plane for the first time and coming into not only a different country, but then travelling how many hours south from Brisbane to regional New South Wales, a little country area of New South Wales. And as mentioned before, a couple of weeks later, the big flood's happening. So I just want to, I guess, acknowledge just that transition and how incredible it's been, their story, experiencing all of that, not being able to start work for some time because of the floods, and then giving their absolute all to help our community with their recovery. And as you know, they received a bravery award not only a few months ago. And just to see them all come together at that time and be congratulated by the community, to be honoured in that way for their incredible contributions to the flood relief recovery here in northern New South Wales, it was really special. And I know that, you know, their families must be so proud of them. And I know some of them have been able to come back and forth and travel back to Fiji, see their families. And for me personally, when I travel for work, especially into remote Northern Territory, and I go to Alice Springs and Uluru and Darwin, and there's a lot of Fijians that work in the hospitality and the tourism industry there as well. So I remember when I went to Alice Springs last year, and the motel that I was staying at, when I walked in and I saw there was a lot of Fijians, whether they were, you know, housekeeping or working in the restaurants, and I rang my husband and I said, there's a lot of workers out here too. And he said, please just make sure you say hello to them and make them, you know, like feel welcome. And so, you know, by 2-3 days of staying there for a conference, you know, every morning I'd get up and I was saying, you know, Yandra and Bula to all these people that I had met.
Yeah.
And it was really nice because then we were able to stay in contact with them as well. And then when we went to Uluru, there's about 150 of Fijian workers out there. And I'll share with you a special story. There's a lady that works in the sales resort out there, and I actually met her on a trip to Fiji. She's from her village is Namatakula.
Ah, Nantunga.
And yeah,
Bendrio.
And so when I got there, her relative had messaged me. Her cousin had messaged me and said, "Can you please keep an eye out for her?" So I walked up to the sales, and we made contact. And I hadn't seen her for so long, and now she's married, and they're both working there in the resort. And it was just really nice to connect with her after so long. And you know, we have this saying in Blackfella, you know, culture here, we have this saying that everywhere you go, you meet somebody that you know.
Yeah, true.
And I feel like now we've got these relationships and connections with Fijian people and our Indigenous communities, that at some point when we mention somebody's name, everybody's going to know who Eva is, or and I just think it's been such a nice just a nice journey since having the cohort of workers move here, to get to know them, for them to be part of our family and our community, for our children to respectfully acknowledge who they are as well. So, you know, Chone oftentimes will call them by, you know, Kai or Tau. Yeah. He doesn't call them by their first names. And I think it's really important that when we're raising children in mixed cultures, that, you know, that that education and learning and respect around those cultural things are really important. So it's been really special.
I really admire that. I think on Saturday I noticed that Layla and her friend,
Mariana,
they had to put on Sulu, a long skirt wraparound, just to come and sit with us when they were the Fijian men over there. So in case you do not know, for Fijian women, it's cultural protocol that we put on something long when we are amongst men. And I really admired that, like, for these two Fijian girls, you know, being brought up in Australia, you know, but they still they're still taught their culture. And I really
well, we knew that we were going to give you your cake, so I knew that the girls had to sit down, and they still had their netball uniforms on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so for me, I called them in and said, "Mai, come and put your sulu on. You're going to be sitting out there with everybody and make sure you cross your legs.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these little things that we're trying to teach our children, because when they go back home to Fiji and they're around their family members and community there, that's the expectation and that's what's right to do.
Talking about crossing your legs, do you find it difficult sometimes when you are among the Fijian community and you have to cross your legs?
Well, you know, I've got these big old long legs. I'm tall, so... you know, especially when you're sitting for hours and hours drinking kava, hello, and you've got to sit down and cross your legs. And sometimes I have to stretch my legs out and, you know, so I always make sure that I do it, you know, appropriately. But, you know, there's all these things that you learn along the way.
I'm amazed you went like for like four, five rounds, six rounds of kava on Saturday with your legs crossed.
Oh, look, once upon a time, I could drink a lot of kava, sister. But I think, you know, as we get older, we can't do things like we used to. Whether it's,
it's all in the mind.
Exactly. So, you know, and poor Eddie, you know, sometimes he'll just want to mix a bowl and sit down together and have some kava, and I'm just, you know, not in the mood because, you know, the taste. Like, I think also as we get older, sometimes it's, you know, when you're younger, you can handle a lot more. So even sometimes when he puts the kava in the pantry, I said, don't put it in the pantry because I can smell the smell the kava. Yeah. And now we put it in the freezer, which apparently is something that you do. You put it in the freezer, it keeps it fresh. I want to really, again, just acknowledge how special this visit has been. And I think there's a lot that we can do together, not just in our work as women in media, but, you know, to stay connected so that you can continue sharing the stories of those that have come here to work from Fiji. It's an incredible opportunity for them. It's not the easiest transition for them, but I think overall the experiences that they've had, whether it be, you know, coming here as a young person, we know that there's some elderly men in the groups, being able to send money back home, provide for their families. Life is getting harder and harder in Fiji with, you know, the economy and the cost of living, and the same here in Australia. But there's no greater feeling than being able to provide for your family. Yeah. And I know that, you know, you'll return home next week. Sorry, this week on Friday.
Yeah.
With so many stories to tell, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of big Dories back home that want to know all the yarns.
How I crashed a private 50th birthday party in Brisbane.
Oh, there you go. So all the Avrosses back home are going to be like, May, sit down, tell me all the stories.
What did you do?
You're going to spend the next 4 days when you get home spinning all the yarns. But I just want to really thank you for choosing us. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for being part of our family and our community. And I really hope that either when we go to visit Fiji, we will link up and catch up, I'm sure. I'd really love the opportunity to spend some time at the Fiji Sun and to meet all your colleagues and staff. And if I can just ask you, what's, I guess, been one of the most surprising highlights of your visit, whether it's been the food or the weather.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the weather? Because I don't think you're quite used to how cold it is.
Yeah. Getting told to wake up at 6 a.m. Oh my gosh, that is something new. I don't get up until 8, 9. I'm always late to the office.
So Eva had to go to the ABC North Coast here in Lismore for a morning show. She had to sit in on the editorial meetings and the morning reports, and that started from 6 a.m.
Oh, gosh.
So I was down at the motel to pick Eva up by 6 a.m. It was still dark. It was freezing. I could tell it was the last thing that she wanted to do. And she gets in the car, and I'm still in my pajamas. And she's looking at me as if I'm going to take her into the office and introduce her to everybody and I'm going to hang around. I said, no, girlfriend. I said, this is where I stop right here.
So I had to do it alone.
So she had to do it alone. Hey, it's part of the experience. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I just said, oh, look, I'm just going to let you out here and then you can. And we had to call Joe Shoebridge. So shout out to the ABC mob there and let her know that Eva was at the front and she was going in. And then I was ready to pick you up after few hours. So there's been a lot of highlights, I'm sure.
I guess it's the weather.
The weather is probably, well, I mean, it would be a highlight to experience the cold weather, but it's probably something that you might not want to do again. Next time we'll get you over in summer. And we'll leave the conversation now with tomorrow we're taking you on a cultural tour, which is really special. So we've got one of our local, you know, mob taking Eva on a cultural tour to see some of the significant sites, including our beautiful rainforest country, our waterfalls. And we really hope that we can leave that gift with you tomorrow, seeing some of those sites and exploring, you know, our country, as we say, so that you can, I guess, take that final experience with you, being on country, taking in the spiritual and cultural significance of our special places here, not just in Lismore, but our surrounding community. So, again, a big Vanaka Vakalevu for being here. And we're really excited for what's yet to come in your journey as a journalist. Because, you know, you're still young. You've got a lot more years ahead of you. Yeah. And I just want to thank you again for being here. And we wish you well. And we'll definitely keep in touch.
Yes, Vinaka Valevu Nei, and to the Kurumail team. And it's been a pleasure. And I look forward to working with you all in the future, collaborations and stuff.
Thank you. And thank you for being part of the Big Dory or the Big Avrosa. And plenty more yarns to come soon. So thank you, sis.
Thank you so much, Vinaka.